Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Jesus. In my place, my chosen friend. I fell on my face just the other day. My so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
drop it, we don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends, his arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend.
And you gave your only life for a friend. Nah, love's so real, you don't pretend to. And you don't treat me like my friends do. Cause when they don't understand, they hate me. You always understand, rebuke in love, then you embrace me.
Love's so real, I like how it feels.
How could I ever do without you? How could I ever be without you? I could never go a day without you, live my life in pain without you, till the day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
Amen. Amen, folks. Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we are going to be bringing forth part two of Unprecedented Mercy, Unprecedented Grace. We would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Pastor Steve Lee will be our teacher for tonight. And as always, I do encourage each and every one of you out there, please grab pencil, paper, pen and paper, notebook, notepad, whatever you may need, and get ready to take some notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching. And also, hopefully, we'll get some dialogue to go along with the broadcast after the end. So with that being said, Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. And thank you again, Brother Mike. So, brothers and sisters, if you would, let's just join our hearts in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, because as you teach us how to live in this present world, for you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, we want to kind of go back into the title, Unprecedented Mercy and Unprecedented Grace. I'm coming at it from the perspective of how we have approached mercy and grace. A lot of times we think that the grace of God is for my mistakes, and mercy is when I don't know what else to do. But I want to cause you to think from a different perspective, because Jesus said, the way you believe, that's the way it's going to happen unto you. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 29, I think when the blind men, it was two of them that was following Jesus, and they came to him and they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when they were come to the house, the blind man came to him and said, Jesus, I want some healing. And Jesus asked the man and said, do you believe I'm able to do this? That's just a real good question, beloved, that we've got to address. Do we really believe that he's able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes and said these words, according to your faith, so be it unto you. So then I would ask, the things that we're believing for, that we need to see, that we need to have happen in our lives, are we believing the whole thing or are we believing partially? You know, when I heard that God's mercy was undeserved favor and unmerited favor, you know, it made me feel like some kind of way it was about me not being able to deserve it. It had to be like if God was just feeling good that day, you know, I might be able to get him to break me off a piece. You know, I couldn't walk in it. I couldn't expect it to function in my life. See, Paul gave us some clues. In fact, Jesus himself, they wrote in Hebrews, it says that Jesus tasted death by the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am because grace is alive in my life. See, not because I make mistakes and then cover it up with grace. I'm empowered by grace. I'm not mad at us if we start putting grace on our mistakes. Amen. I'll even see that we can allow that. But we're supposed to go from grace to grace. We're supposed to grow in grace. So if we started with that concept, it should then grow, shouldn't it? See, we have been asked and tasked with the ability to impact and change the world, okay? But if we don't think that we are able to do that because of whatever the limitations, because I don't deserve for God to use me, because I don't know how to allow God to use me, because I don't know the will of God, then, see, we didn't apply the scripture that says we're supposed to go from grace and grow in grace from glory to glory. Okay. Look at this. Just so that you can see this. John chapter 1, we kind of visited this. Okay. Because if I don't think his grace is sufficient, these are things that Paul had to wrestle with till he got the victory. Paul kept asking God to do something. He said he besought God three times to be delivered. And God came to him and said, look here, boy, My grace is sufficient for thee. He did not say my grace is insufficient. He said my grace is sufficient. Paul, learn to depend on my grace. See, I know this is what I did. I didn't think that grace was going to work, so I began to barter with God, trade this for that. I'll do good stuff, God, if you would just allow grace to work. I would borrow tomorrow's grace. Oh, come on, y'all. I will tell God, if you would do this, then I'll do this tomorrow. From now on, I'll live like this. I'm trying to bargain with God. I'm borrowing my grace from tomorrow to try to live in today. That's not good. He said this mercy is what? New every morning. So that I don't have to try to borrow tomorrow's grace to live today. Okay? I should just learn to live today in faith. Because if I would live in faith today, that would please God today. Oh, please hear that, beloved. So if I'm thinking that I'm going to borrow mercy from tomorrow, then I'm not living in faith today, so then it's impossible to please God without faith. And I'm saying my faith will become active tomorrow, Lord. Because today, what we're going to do is we're going to borrow some grace. We're going to borrow some grace from tomorrow. We're going to steal and connive grace. We're going to get a hookup. I don't have to have a hookup. Glory to God. I no longer need a hookup. According to Psalm 68:19, he said he daily loads me down with benefits. He said loads me daily. So then, when I woke up this morning, I had more benefits than I would ever have need. Glory to God. See? Because he daily loads me down with benefits. He wants us to win every time, all the time. But we have to have a mindset that understands that God has equipped me to win. See? He sent a word to heal me and to deliver me. So that I would not have to live in this life like everybody else, miserable, without answers, without hope. That he doesn't want me to live like that. He wants me to be one that not only is a recipient, but one that releases blessing. Okay? People are supposed to be able to make a decision because they see the grace of God in action. Let's look at this. John chapter 1. And this is telling us, setting up for us, if you would, how Jesus' thought processes work. Okay? This John's account of it, of course, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's what our problem is. We keep approaching God as if we don't have any light. That's good, sir. See, if I would approach him as the life that he has given to me, this life, verse 4, is the light of men. Okay? So then this light is shining in my inability to understand. It's shining in my darkness. Okay. Oh, boy. If the light that has come came so that my darkness can be illuminated, then why am I still functioning as if I'm going to have to walk around in the dark? He sent the word. He sent Jesus the word so that in him would be life, and that life is the light of men. Okay? So I want you to know, see, God did his part. He's already done it. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. So then I need to live my life from the position that it's finished. Okay? See, we have unprecedented grace. It's not that I deserve it. I deserve has nothing to do with it. Okay? And if I would just go and settle it on the word, okay, then I'll be able to function, because the word will not return to God void. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleases. If, I'll say it this way then, if you don't have what you've been believing for, let it continue to prosper in you, because it will accomplish that which he pleases when it prospers in the place he sent it. Okay. See, I don't have any issue with a prayer of agreement. But if it's a prayer of solicitation, it's not a prayer of agreement. If I'm asking someone to agree with me, I must believe it. If I'm asking someone to believe for me, we have a problem. Because that word has not yet prospered in the thing that he sent it in, that he sent it to. See, once the word prospers, and we're going to see this in just a minute, once the word prospers, it then takes me to another dimension. It takes me to another level. As I go from level to level, okay, all right, never mind, let's try this. As I go from level to level, whatever I used in the first level is not going to be necessarily mandatory in the next level. When I learned things in kindergarten, those things were foundation stones, but they were not necessary for the next level. They were foundation stones. Got that. But since they're foundation stones, they expect you to utilize the information, not the stones. Okay, all right. You don't continue to go doing things in the fifth grade that you were practicing in the first grade. They expect you to master those things before you go to the second grade so that you can go unto the fifth grade. If you didn't master those things in the first grade, you repeat the course over again. Okay? So God is asking us to go from glory to glory. So he's going to take you to another dimension. Why are we then staying on the things that we practiced yesterday and not growing into the faith that's necessary for today? Those are real questions that we've got to resolve. See, that way I don't have to keep going to try to find somebody to pray for me. I can say, this is my agreement. I release it, and then God will send people that will be able to confirm that word in your life. Because every word is confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's why you've got to deal with who you have as your friends. If they're not talking from the position of the word, you might need to get a new friend. Because he's trying to take you from faith to faith. Not from faith to doubt, not from faith to worry, not from faith to maybe. He's taking you from faith to faith. This is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we desire. See, I'm going from faith to faith. I'm not going from faith to questions. Okay, going back to John chapter 1, it says, there was a man, verse 6, that was sent from God, his name was John. And the same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That light was the true light, which lighteneth, I love this, underline it, circle it, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. And there's nobody that does not have the ability to receive the light that will get them to the place where life happens for them. That light came, it came to every man. Okay. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. These are the verses I want to kind of look at. He came to his own, and his own received him not. I believe that sometimes that's still true in Christendom. Jesus came to bring you a new revelation, and you wouldn't receive the new revelation. You're going to walk on what you've been walking in times past. You're walking what you had in the last dimension, and God's trying to take you to another dimension. He came to his own. Notice, please, y'all, he came to those that were already his. He didn't come to just sinners. He came to his own. And I know the world, everybody was a sinner. I got that. I'm saying that in our life, we keep asking Jesus to do things, but we don't receive him because we don't know him that way. You remember when the disciples were going across the water and Jesus came to them walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost and Jesus would have passed them by? Why would he have passed them by? Because they weren't thinking, they were not looking to see Jesus doing that. They thought it was a ghost. They were not looking to receive him because they didn't know him that way. See? And then Peter, being Peter, they say, well, no, I look like Jesus. Hey, Jesus, if it's you, tell you what, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, well, it's me, so come on. And then Peter walked on the water. But because he was not accustomed to functioning in the presence of Jesus on that dimension, he began to go back to what he understood. And what did he understand? What was the thing he understood? It don't look right. I'm not supposed to be doing this. Wait a minute, excuse me, Peter. You're walking on the water. What do you mean you're not supposed to be doing it? Say it slow, Peter. You're doing it. And then Peter began to sink because he did not know Jesus in that dimension. Even though he had a direct invitation from Jesus to do what he didn't know how to do. If it be you, Lord, bid me come. We've got to allow God to take us from glory to glory. He came unto his own, but his own wanted to get what they've been getting all the time. I don't know. Y'all help me. I like some meals. I don't particularly want to eat the same meal every day. I would like to have something that gives me a little more enjoyment than what I've tasted for the last 200 days. He came to his own, but his own wanted to stay where they were. They wanted to stay in whatever they could control. I know I'm talking to somebody now. We want to stay in the place where we understand and control the thing, not recognizing that my life is hid in him, that my steps are ordered of him. So then if he's asking me, requiring me to go from one dimension to another, then out of obedience and love, I should go. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Oh, that's just powerful, y'all. If you would just get that. Jesus is always in every situation that you are facing. And he's saying unto you, it is I, and if you want to come, he says come. And to as many as receive him, to them, he's going to, watch this. He's giving power to those that receive so they can become. Glory to God. Please circle, underline, stars, highlight. He gives power to those that receive him to become sons of God. To become those that no longer have to function in a lower dimension, son of man, you can come up to a dimension where you can be sons of God. Glory to God. Even to them that believe on his name. Hmm. Did you notice the tense of the word believe there? He didn't say even to them that have believed on his name. This is the active tense of believe, continual believing. He's giving power to those that continually believe. Why? Because he's taking you to another dimension. He's taking you to another level. And in order to function in that next level, you're going to have to believe that you received him for the next level. And then he says things like this. It's not going to be because you were born of with the right in the right connection, not born of blood. It's not about your pedigree. It's not going to be about the will of your flesh. See, this has nothing to do with that. When he gives you this power, it's not connected to those that believe pedigree matters. It's not going to be connected to those that say it's because I have the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And I understand, again, this is talking about salvation, but the word salvation means deliverance. And I love the word deliver because it has the understanding that you have to leave where you were to go to the place you're called to. Delivery doesn't is not complete until you leave where you were and you end up in the place you're called to. Okay? If I don't move, I have not been delivered. I am purposed for delivery, but I have not engaged in delivery. I'm still at the place I was. So then he cannot be to you a deliverer. Okay? I mean, we've got to participate, help, assist. We're co-laborers with him. If I'm going to be a co-laborer with him, whatever he's trying to do, I should be doing it. If he's wanting to do something and I'm not going to receive him, then I'm not helping the cause. So we've got to get to the place in our heart that we allow him to bring us from the place where we were to the place that he's called us to. He's not trying to embarrass you. He's trying to enhance you. He's the God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. He knew what you thought yesterday. He wants to do more today. That's why it's exceedingly abundantly above that which you've already thought. He says that when you do this, I mean, just look at these steps here, people. When you do this, when you receive him, he gives you the power to become son. And he says, and when you do this, now the word that you heard, the word that said come, the word that brought you to the next level, that opened up your understanding for the next level, that word now will be made tangible. It will be made flesh. And it has the power to dwell there. If you don't let the word dwell there, you're going to give up on that word. You're going to do exactly what Peter did. You're going to begin to sink, even though you walked in the next dimension. See? And then you're going to say, that's exactly how it happens. Then you're going to think that I didn't deserve to be there. Because you'll judge yourself based on the circumstances. You'll say, I'm not supposed to be able to do that. Well, if he just told you to come, if he invited you to the next dimension, you're supposed to be there. That's why I don't like the phrase undeserved, because it makes me feel like I'm not supposed to be there. He called me unto himself. That's what he said, that where I am, you may be also. He didn't say that where I am, you can look at, but you'll never get here. He invited us into victory. He gives us the victory. He wants to show principalities and powers his wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. Come on, y'all. He doesn't just want to show principalities and power one bit of wisdom. He said he wants to show the manifold wisdom of God through us, the church. He wants to take you to a higher glory. Amen. And I do know, I do understand that you've heard that nobody can, he does not share his glory with another. He didn't. I'm part of him. That's not another. Glory to God. I am in the body of Christ. Okay? I'm not a foreigner. I was, but I'm now grafted in. So then membership has its privileges. Glory to God. See? So then when I begin to understand, receive him, because he wants to give me power. Every time I get to something, I find, look for Jesus in it. Because when I find the word or find a promise, that promise invites me in to the place Jesus lives. He is the word. If he is the word, that means he has to live in it, doesn't he? The word and he are inseparable. So then if I see in the word a promise that invites me, he's only inviting me into himself. He's inviting me into his presence. Why? Because in his presence, joy can be made full. It's easy to have full joy when I've got better knowledge. There were times in my life I received a gift at Christmas, and I didn't know how to use the gift. I was kind of excited about getting the gift, but because I didn't know how to use it, I cannot experience full knowledge. A friend of mine bought me a chess set for Christmas, and Christmas was on Wednesday. And then he said to me, I want you to be able to beat me by Saturday. I had never seen a chess piece in my life, so I could not experience fullness of joy until after Saturday, when I began to practice using the pieces. And I began to move them around and say, okay, don't do that because of this. I understood through use that produced a fuller joy for my life. God wants us to come into places that we have not functioned in before, not mad because we didn't know, but come in with expectancy, because if you called me, Lord, I am equipped by the calling. It says that this word becomes tangible. And then when it becomes tangible, when it becomes something you can hold on to, then he says, keep it. And when you keep the word that becomes tangible, now you will be able to look into glory. I want you to look at 14 again. We're going to read it a little bit differently. The word was made flesh, and the world dwelt among us, and we looked into or beheld his glory. I want you to see that. If I don't receive him, if I don't enter into the power to do things I could not do before, if I do not continue believing on his name, if I don't dismiss all of the other stuff that causes me to think I can qualify, will of flesh, will of the man, or heritage, prestige, because of my position. So if I don't remove all that stuff, then I'm not going to get to the place where the word can be handled, and then when it is handled, I can hold on to it. Then I'll behold glory. Whew. My God, my God. He's giving us steps here, because this is unprecedented mercy, unprecedented grace. I can then behold or look into glory. I mean, you just think about that. Come on, y'all. Moses wanted to know God, and he said, go, Lord, please show me your glory. And God said, I can't do that, because if you look into my glory, you're going to die. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around, hold you in my hand. I'm going to connect myself with you. I'm going to hold you in my hand, and then I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to allow you to see my backside. Well, see, this is not what Jesus is inviting us into. He said we would be able to behold the glory. We would be able to look into the glory. Hallelujah. And he says, when I do this, I will understand, have revelation of stuff I didn't have understanding of, because it'll be full of grace and truth. You know, I hadn't thought about it till just now. Grace and truth both are responsible for causing my freedom, my victory, my liberty. Hallelujah. The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we enter into this, we stand into this grace. We stand into that grace. See, we enter into it. So the grace will make me free. It'll set me free. It'll remove chains. It'll, the grace of God or the anointing of God will destroy chains. At the time those chains are destroyed, it's the anointing that destroys, not breaks. I don't want a broken yoke. I'm looking for destroyed yokes. The anointing destroys yokes. It makes me free. I have never seen that grace and truth cause my freedom to be executed. So then if I want to see something, that's what he told Paul. That's what he told Paul. He said, Paul, you didn't get it. My grace is sufficient. My grace will cause liberty, Paul. Because in when I reveal things to you in weakness, Paul, my strength is perfected. In weakness, Paul, liberty happens. That's why my grace is sufficient. Because you don't need anything else, Paul, but my grace. My grace will cause you to be able to execute the freedom that I've given to you. It's perfected there, Paul. So he says, the word was made flesh, tangible, and we're supposed to hold on to it and then look into it. And it will be the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and it will cause liberty because it brings full grace and full truth. Then he says in verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received. And of his fullness have we all received. All means what? Last time I checked, it means all. And he says, this fullness, we have received it. And once we activate this fullness, we then go from grace to grace. Grace for grace. Okay. He didn't just give me a new grace. He gave me grace and then replaced it with bigger, more defined, understood grace. Grace that will carry me further than the first grace that brought me to this place. Grace for grace. If I understood the first grace, walked in the first grace, the methodology that I walked in for the first grace, I can utilize that methodology to go to another dimension of grace. Grace for grace. He didn't just give me grace for love or grace for hope. He gave me grace for grace.
Okay.
I just kind of want you to see that. See, this is an unprecedented grace. And the reason that I came here to this point, because see, the devil can't mess with grace that he didn't understand. Because remember, it said that darkness did not comprehend this whole scenario. Darkness just didn't have a clue of what was going on. So then the devil can't stop me when I'm operating in at this dimension, when I'm looking for the grace of God, not for my mistakes, but for empowerment to execute whatever God's calling me into.
See?
Yes, he knew that you didn't know how to do this. I got so many things that's kind of happening, opened it up. See, this unprecedented grace and mercy is God offering to us what he knew we needed. It's not because of my mistake. It's God making an offering. Okay. God is not extending mercy just because I messed up. He's extending mercy so that I can walk up, this is what we say today, so I can level up, so I can go to the next level. He's extending grace and mercy to build me up. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. See, he's wanting to give me grace to build me up so that I can leave the dimension that I was in and then participate in the next. He wants me, Jesus said, that you are going to do greater works. Glory to God. He said greater works. Sounds like to me he was inviting me into another dimension of grace. He was full of grace and truth. Grace for grace. And he says I should be doing greater works. Hallelujah. So that I need to go ahead and receive him so that he can lead me into an increase of grace. Okay? That's what this is all about. We are living in the days where grace is going to have to be the thing we rule and reign by. It's not going to be the thing that we cover up our mistakes by. Okay? We have to learn to rule by grace, to reign by grace. That means we're going to have to live in it on purpose. Okay, I've said that, not just the way it sounds. If I'm living on purpose, I've dismissed mistakes. Hello? Because I'm living on purpose. I'm living by purpose. I'm not living because of my mistakes. He covered my mistakes and then gave grace for me to walk in. And is calling me unto this grace. See? That is what is referred to as unprecedented grace. And the reason I say it's unprecedented is because it's never been seen before. Unprecedented things are not normal or common things. They are unprecedented. We've not been here before. And the grace that he's inviting us into when we're doing greater works, we haven't been there before. He didn't say we'll just do healings. That's good. But we'll be able to do healings on a grander scale. When Jesus was here, he did healings individually. And then he went and he released the Holy Spirit. And those healings now could happen in a grander scale. Peter was walking down the street being filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter was walking down the street. And anybody that came in contact with his shadow was healed from every disease that they had. Glory to God. That's on a escalated level, isn't it? I mean, come on. They weren't. Peter was not trying to release healing. Peter was on his way to the store to get some bread. And people were lining up on the way to the store. In those days, they didn't have a store on every corner. They just had a specific place in the marketplace that you would go to. And Peter was traversing from point A to point B. And as he walked, the shadow that he had caused healing. Glory to God. That took it to a new level. Jesus had unprecedented grace there. It says in Acts chapter 4 that great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Not a little grace. Great grace. Why? Because this generation is going to need to touch, find out how they can be contacted with great grace. And when I looked at that today, I hadn't thought about this. Read it, but I didn't get it. When the first church was being developed, there was such an anointing and hunger for God that 5,000 men joined the church in one day. 3,000 men joined the church in one day. We might get a ton of sisters to join the church, but that was an anointing that brought 5,000 men into the body of Christ. Because men, we are the strength of the body of Christ. And if we don't turn things around in our thinking, then we will allow the church to be filled with willing ladies instead of able men. Because able men get things done. Willing ladies will stand in the gap till it's done. I applaud willing ladies, but I'm looking for able men. Okay? And so God has a release that's in the earth, because he said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And men are going to do some stuff. So we've got to get that active again. We've got to stop with this mamby-pamby stuff that we've been offering them, things that will We've relegated this thing to something that would only appease or be appealing to willing women and not able men. I got to blame us, preachers. See? Because it's easier. It's in a man to lead about a woman. It's in a man to do that. But it takes a man to give people an opportunity to become humble and then follow another man. So the pride in us stops that whole process. We'll just say, no, I put my pants on one leg at a time just like he did. Yeah, but if you would recognize anointing, if you will recognize and reverence the anointing of God, then we'll get this thing done and wrapped up. Because men are required to do the things that God enabled them to do, to take their place back, even from the beginning. From the beginning, God gave responsibility for the woman to the man, because the head of every woman is the man. But you've got men that are out of place because of the pride of life. Because I'm not going to do what that man told me to do. Do what the anointing told you to do. Do what the anointing requires. Because when we do this, then we'll be able to turn situations around. Because that's how we're going to cause this world to be a place that's filled with the glory of God, the same way the waters cover the sea. It happens when men take their place. I appreciate willing sisters. But when a man stands up and is counted, God has always looked for a man. He found a man. Did I say he couldn't use a sister? No. But he was looking for a man. And because we have relegated all of the responsibility to the willing woman, then the earth is in trouble. Because God's delegated authority is not going to change. I didn't say it couldn't be used. I said it's not going to change. See? So we've got to wake up again. God is interested in sons of God taking their place, so that daughters would then be protected. So that children would then be protected. I mean, as we look around, we see daughters, the daughters of faith, they're not protected. They are abandoned. Because men will function in pride and don't know how to submit to the anointing to find the breakthrough necessary for their marriage. So they will abandon their marriage and leave the woman unprotected, leave the children unprotected. All because you're functioning in the pride of life, functioning in the will of the flesh, and throwing away the anointing that destroys yokes. I appreciate, I applaud willing women, but I'm definitely looking for able men, those that will stand up and allow God to do the work in them that's necessary so that we can then resist the darkness that has been assigned to earth. We won't assist the devil. We'll be able to resist the devil because we'll be in place. We can be counted on. I mean, God is looking for who can find a faithful man who can find. He didn't say a willing sister who can find. Jesus, they've always been willing. They have undergirded the ministry, even the ministry of Jesus. Because remember, he went to his own, and his own received him not. Even the ministry of Jesus, you can see how the willing women supported him, and the men of that time rejected him, because their pride that's in us. I'm not going to do what that man said. I'm not going to do it a new way. I'm going to do it my way. When it would have been better to find out what God's way is. Men have always wrestled with God. Glory to God. I hadn't thought about that. Men have always wrestled with God. But willing women find out the heart of God. And because they find out the heart of God, that which was in his heart then gets revealed to them, and they are willing to do it. I mean, you can always, a truck is a truck. A dump truck is a better truck, a bigger truck. You can't use a pup truck for the things you want to use a dump truck for. You'll tear up the pup truck, the little bitty pickup truck. You'll tear it up. And that's what we have done. We have caused injury to the willing women because we are the ones that were able but wouldn't do it. We rejected truth. We abdicated our responsibility. And it has emasculated a whole generation because we've abdicated our responsibility. And then we go around saying that we can't do nothing with them women. Yes, you can. You can find out what the anointing is requiring of you, and you can begin to do that. Because if you would lay down your life, man, you will build the bridge from where the anointing told you to stand to where they can walk safely back into the place they were called to. So I know I didn't expect to get into this, but amen. I mean, we've got to do better at this. We've got to allow God to heal our land. When we allow him to heal our land, we will then be able to enjoy what he has created us to enjoy. We get him involved the way his plan was already laid out. Then he will cause all things to then work together for our good. When things are working together for our good, we don't give up, cave in, and quit. Because we know that the plan of God is going to be executed. The will of the Lord be done. I would have loved today to give you one of those, happy goosebump sermons.
I'm sorry.
That's not what he just let out. It's time for us to repent. Go back to the place where the word of God is desired by men. But we don't go to the bar and talk about all kind of crazy stuff. We go to the place of fellowship. That's why they would gather at the gate. Because the men would gather at the place of authority. The husband was known in the gate. See? He was not known in the bar. He was not known in the man cave where he's out there playing games that he can playing games of conquest when he can come and conquer the thing the devil has been setting up. You want to conquer something? Go conquer evil. Playing games of conquest. That lets you know that you have a desire to conquer. It's already in you. But you've been duped and removed from your place. You'd rather play games of conquest rather than going back and causing the earth to be recovered. Because the one thing the whole earth is waiting for, it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for that. It's groaning and travailing for that. We're just saying, yeah, man, we'll go play and then hang out at the pub and talk about our conquest. You ain't won nothing. The fight that's worth fighting is the good fight of faith. Everything else is just a joke. Life is wanting to be lived, and you're wanting to play games. God is asking us to wake up, to stand up, to man up, so that we can return the earth to our God. The kingdoms of our God, the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And then we'll learn how to rule by that grace that we've been called unto. We won't waste time, lose families, lose ground, lose territory. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, therefore you go. And we've lost territory. We need to wake up. If you don't smell the coffee, put some coffee on. We need to get serious. We are in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. And God is asking us to allow him to develop the men that should take their place arm in arm and make a barrier around the family, the sisters, the children, so that they would know and experience the love of God, because we stand in the place that protects that love, that releases that love. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Because when he calls you, he will develop you. He will give you everything necessary for victory to be walked out, worked in, and enjoyed. Father, we just thank you. And we just bless you. Thank you for words of correction, Father, that has been heard. Yes, Father, I did my job. I planted it. And I thank you that it will not return void, Father. But it will encourage men and then engage men to do what you called them to do, so that they could see the rest of God. They could see the joy of the Lord, be strengthened by it, then employ the grace that brings victory and glory unto you. We give you praise for that, sir. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow.
Amen. All right, folks. Let's go ahead and get ready to open up lines for commentary for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 312-330.
Hello.
Yep.
I just praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that I listened to every word that you said today with, what is the word, great? Well, amazement for one. I was glad that you went there. The fact of the matter is, women are not supposed to preach according to the word of God. Let me go back. Okay, when it speaks in the book of John, this is what God was showing me. When it speaks in the book of John, and he talks about the inner man, that inner man is also given to women. But that inner man is not supposed to let the woman preach. It didn't say she couldn't teach, but it says for sure she cannot preach.
Yeah.
So I was very glad that you were there. Right, because God has an order, and everything has to be in his order. And you are absolutely correct that men are not stepping up in the truth of God, in the grace of God. And God is not excusing anybody. The woman cannot do that. She has a place. And regardless of all this feminine stuff and whatever that is, the fact of the matter is God has set things in a certain order, and that's the only order that things can function the way that they are supposed to in Christ. So I just wanted to thank you. I just wanted to thank you for that. And again, to thank the station. We just praise God for you all.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I mean, that's just the best way to, again, I had never heard the phrase willing women, but it's just where it came in. And, I mean, we want to get this thing wrapped up. I would like to see him come and catch us away. But he's not coming for a church that has spots, wrinkles, or blemishes. And if I do things I'm not supposed to do, that is a spot in the spirit. We've got to go back and deal with it. I'm not trying to put people in bondage. I'm trying to cause liberty to be experienced by everybody. And it's just a reality that able men is what it's going to take to bring this to pass. That's not because of emotional women. Like I said, I applaud them because they were willing. Men have abandoned ship. And we've got to just say, okay, God, how do we fix this? And I would recommend that the best way to fix it is to submit to the anointing that God says destroys yokes. Not just to get into a convenient place and do whatever we've been doing. Let's do it his way. I mean, 5,000 men in one day. There has to be an anointing and something that caused that to happen. So, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you don't want to listen, I'm sorry. I'm just telling the truth. We just read the Bible together. That's all I want to do. Amen, Brother Mike. Back to you.
Amen. All right. Let's go with area code 404-964.
Amen. Area code 404-964. Go ahead. Amen. We thank you for being here on the broadcast. And if you just want to listen and not participate, that's okay. So thank you again for being on the broadcast with us today. Amen.
All right. Area code 678.
Area code 678. What's the next three numbers? Area code 678. Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you for being on the call. And again, yes, it's possible that the ministry today might have upset some people. And, you know, that's not my intent. I'm only offering truth. Okay. My perspective is not a perspective that's personal. Okay. I don't function from that. That does me no good. That would be the pride of life. I'm staying away from that. But if it's true, it will remain. So it doesn't matter that a person doesn't like it today or doesn't agree with it. If it's truth, it will remain. And then we'll have to come back to it and revisit it. Amen. God is patient. So I can say that without trying to offend. That's not an intent of me or the ministry here. Okay? But if you look around and see the condition of the world, it has to be a direct result
of what we have been doing. So that you
Amen.
Put that, as they say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Brother Mike, go ahead.
All right. Our last caller for the night. Area code 352-870. 352-870.
Amen. Welcome to the call.
God bless y'all. I heard the first part of the message, and I had to get off the line, so I got to go back and listen to the rest because it sounds like there was more to it. But I just wanted to say I was saying amen when you were talking about, you know, how we have to keep going. And I said yes because we – learn, like you said, the kindergarten, that's just the foundational stuff. And I
saw,
this is what happened to me. I got stuck when I was supposed to keep going. And
amen.
And I asked myself, why did I stop? And why is it so hard to, you know, to move on? But, you know, it's just because I have to, I guess, yearn for more, or you know, continue. We step into the room,
right.
And then that's it. We need to keep going. And
right.
That was so good for me. That was so good for me because it pinpointed what had happened. That I just stepped in the room, but I just didn't keep going. So I appreciate that. Now, like I said, I have to go back and listen to the rest of the message.
Well, let me give you
more.
It's more, but let me give you this. Like I said, the whole thing turned and went to a different place because I have a beautiful saying that God gave me, and I'm going to go ahead and share it now because you just brought it back up. Read Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, and Genesis chapter 3, because our learning, God wanted man, because man learns best at rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I see right there that my learning is best when I'm at rest. Because he said, take my yoke and learn after you receive what? Rest. So man learns best at rest. Then I heard man learns less by stress. So when I'm fighting and trying to make it happen, I'm not learning anything. I'm just doing the will of man kind of thing, trying to make it happen. But if I would go back to the place of rest, man was created in rest. He made everything else first. On the sixth day, he made man, and there was everything already made. And after he made man, the next thing God did was rest. So he was introducing man to what? Rest.
Rest.
Man learns best at rest. He learns less by stress. Okay, so just kind
Amen.
Of do that. When you find yourself fighting with God, stop that and say, wait a minute, you didn't cause me to want to have to wrestle and contend with you. I learn best at rest. You said, take my yoke, learn of me, and then you will find rest for your souls.
Amen.
Okay? So I want you
Amen.
To go back and read those. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, Genesis chapter 3, John chapter 10, verse 10, because it says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All of those things, killing, stealing, and destroying, bring stress, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay? So then the thief is coming to make you stop learning. That's what it does. We get frustrated. We get frustrated, and then we stop learning. Man learns best at rest. He learns less by stress.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So
yes, and I want to say also that those who have ears to hear are listening.
Amen.
Because we've been looking for it, and we've been wanting it. Okay?
Amen.
So, so we appreciate that. You know, this is the third time you are the third teacher today of the rest of this grace and this rest message. The third preacher teacher that I heard today because I use trusted sources that tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
from the word, to learn and to study. And so this is the third time that I've heard it today, the same message. But I just want you to know that not all are offended by the truth. Some are craving for it, and we appreciate it so much. We appreciate it so much. So I want to say God bless you.
Thank you.
And,
Amen.
Yes,
Thank
I'm in agreement with everything. Thank you, brother. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Be blessed. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Mike. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Well, that does look like that's the end of our list of calls for tonight. Is there anything else that you'd like to close out on, Pastor Steve, before we get ready to bring it to a close?
No. No, I'm just thankful that, first of all, God would use me and then strengthen me to do His will, because it's such a pleasure. This is not something that I think is hard. It is such a pleasure and a joy for me to get in the Word and then release what He shows me so that we can all grow thereby. I am thankful for the opportunity to sow into your lives. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, folks, well, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. Also, you can go into the archives, and that way you'll be able to catch up on any of the teachings as well in our Blog Talk channel. Just search for Live Deliverance Internet Radio on blogtalk.com, and you'll be able to go there to the archives and pull up any of the broadcasts that you want to hear if you missed any notes or anything like that. Now, that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here next week live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.